Welcome to the Flash After Show. This is Season 5, Episode 12, Memorabilia. So it's singles night and the guys are getting out. We have Machine A Memoir and A Fall from Grace. And you'll want to stick around for our baddie breakdown and news and gossip from Zach. Let's do it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
This is very powerful.
But it's poignant to the episode tonight.
You want to tell us?
No. I want to see the chat. Everyone out there, I'll give you a few seconds or so. Can you guess how this connects to tonight's episode? Where did this come from? It comes from a movie. We'll find out a little bit later. Awesome.
Yes, and we'll give you a shout out for those who get it right. But let's jump on into this episode. Season 5, Episode 12, Memorabilia. This was so fun, and this was a wild ride. So we're going to talk about singles night, the memory machine, the fall from Grace. Little Miss Grace is acting up a little bit around these parts. And then plus we have the baddie breakdown and news and gossip that Zach is going to hook us up with.
Oh, you bet.
Yes. So let's just get started. I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and we are so missing Chauncey and Drew J. So shout out to our girls.
Hope you guys feel better.
Amen. And I couldn't do this without my buddy to the left.
Yeah. Hey, guys. My name is Zach Silverman. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
What's going on, Jamie?
Man, you know, it's so funny because every time we talk about the episodes after, I'm like, oh my God, that was amazing. I'm always so blown away. So I really thought the episode was great. It kept my attention. I really, in my personal life, love dream work and things like that. So it was really fun to see how that tied in to the plot line and some of the stuff that they were saying about perception and things like that. So I thought it was interesting. What did you think?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. We already have a winner in the chat.
What is it? Let's do it.
So Jasmine, called it Inception. I've been close in second with Dark Knight Batman, who same director, I think same composer as well. But congrats to you guys.
Thanks, Jazzy.
I liked it a lot. It was a good episode. It was similar to Inception, and I love the callbacks to the movie and just some of the things that we got to see. So it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I think fun is the perfect word for it. So let's get into singles night. I'm so glad to see Cisco back. You know, it was refreshing to see him walk in trying to get the little pieces that he's trying to find for the cure.
He just stumbles on it and he goes, you know, just when I'm like trying to pick up one little thing, what do you guys like his... I love his actions and everything that he does. He definitely is the true comedic relief of the Team Flash. We had a singles night.
Yeah.
You know what's really cool, especially after like having Hartley here last week? Ralph, I have a whole new respect for.
Uh-huh.
And like things that he does, I know he's doing it for the right reason. Mm-hmm. So like this whole episode, when he was... Yeah, I got a lead and come out with me and, you know, oh, it's well, there's a lot of girls here. You know, everything that he was doing was for Cisco.
Yes.
And I knew it wasn't a selfish thing. Like, he really, really learned his lesson from season one after actually dying with the
vote. Right. Yeah, he was very intentional about it and it was so sweet. And yes, it was. It's so much more interesting to watch the show now, having had sat down with Hartley and seeing.
Oh my God, so much.
Yeah, it's really cool to see where he's coming from. Even when he opened right up, looking ridiculous in the helmet with the,
ice skating.
Yeah, it was funny.
He's, you know, making sure everyone's playing it safe, right? You know, all those people out there, you should be wearing a helmet.
Yeah, be an example for the kids.
I like it. It was great. but it just goes to show, like, the testament of who he is as a person and who he is to Team Flash. I mean, Cisco, I think it was earlier in the season, had been pretty down about his girlfriend that left him. So, you know, something was missing and he saw that. So he's like, let me do something to cheer him up. We actually have one night off. And it was a nice pairing. I enjoy when those two come together.
Yeah, absolutely. And it may have seemed small, but it was huge in the grand scheme of things. One, because, again, you know, Ralph did his homework. He knew what Cisco liked and took him to the right place, which is also the place where they found a clue through conversation so that Cisco could move forward with the serum.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like Cisco was just really stuck on the serum. He was just kind of working day and night at it. And sometimes you just need to, like, take a step back and look at the bigger picture of things. And I think I don't think Ralph went that far with it and knew that he needed to take a break. But I do know that he was looking out for his better side. He really uses detective skills to know what he likes, or at least similar to what his ex-girlfriend was.
Right, because for a second when they flashed to the first girl that he pointed to, I was like, wait, that looks like the ex-girl. It threw me off for a really quick second.
Like, I'm happy they're doing this. And I was a little upset with Cisco to think like, oh, you're being selfish. And we had that little diatribe from Ralph saying like, yeah, you know, when I didn't have anybody, I was doing this alone. Now I have a friend to do it with. I really wanted him to just be like, you know, I wanted to make you happy, you know, show you that we are friends and I have your back kind of thing.
Well, maybe he'll do that. Or, you know, maybe Cisco will just gather that information on his own. I don't know. The way guys talk, women, we're like that. Like, girl, I just wanted to bring you out because maybe this is like guy code or he's like, ah, he knows what I mean. I don't know.
Yeah, they're getting as intimate as they can.
Exactly.
As two men. Yes. 100%. But it was cool. It was good. Yeah. And now we figured out that we're going to be fine. We're going to be seeing two siblings. I think, did they say it was sisters or two brothers or?
I feel like he said sisters.
Two sisters that one became a meta and the other didn't. Yeah. So that'll be an interesting duo to watch. I wonder what their powers would be and how like one feels towards the other. And really bringing up the question of, hey, if you had an opportunity to have powers or get rid of them, what would you do?
Right. And I can tell that Cisco is, his heart is really in this project. Like, he's not going to give it up until it happens because he's connected to being disconnected from Vibe.
Yeah. And it really, it's starting to hurt because I kind of see where the writers are going with this. And I hope they don't do this, unfortunately. But it kind of seems like Cisco's going to be taking I think he is going to be taking the cure and we won't be seeing much of him anymore.
Yeah, and not to jump too far in predictions, but could he also have a change of heart potentially? Like, sure. Do we see a pivot moment?
I mean, yeah, that'd be great. I think this is where life and the show are meeting, where it's like, okay, Carlos Cisco is like, I've been on here for 5 seasons. How many more seasons do I have in me? Writers are writing a plot. Well, make your choice. Do you want to, like, stay or do you want to leave? And we can have you easily exit. Or you could, like, have a change of heart and stay.
Right, you know? The behind the scenes, make it legit.
Just know, we all love you and want to keep you on here and see you. So please, don't take the cure.
You know? Unless you're going to just stay solid as, like, Cisco. Because that's where we started, and I'm not mad at that. Vibe was a great addition. But, you know, we differ in opinions about that. I don't mind if he takes the serum, but I don't want Cisco to leave.
If he takes the serum, he's leaving.
Really? Okay, well, I'll take your
word for it. What else would he need to be around for? I mean,
well, there's so much other work to be done. Doesn't Caitlin need help and they need to, you know, all the tools and gadgets?
We got this. Look, that's a bad, you know, earth, a different earth that I'm like envisioning that I don't want to have happen, but it could happen. We've seen it happen on The Arrow. We've seen it happen on even on Supergirl. Man, like after season 3, one of the main guys was just like, hey, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
Lord.
Yeah, he's like, I'm moving on to better things. Like, not better things, but I want to explore and do different things.
Right, so what happens?
It happens, but, you know, more power to you for whatever choice you go.
Right, so if Cisco, you're watching, hop in the chat. No, I'm just kidding. But we do love having all of you guys hop in the chat and have fun with us. So, Zach, why don't you let them know what's up?
Yeah, guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN Talk TV. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you, guys. And we will give you a shout out, you know, if we see you in the comments or anything like that. So thank you guys so much for watching. And you'll want to stick around because we have the baddie breakdown and news and gossip. And that's going to be really fun.
Oh, yes.
But let's talk about this time machine that Sherlock would call machine à mémoire.
You speak French, huh?
Je parle français un peu. Just a little bit.
I don't speak any type of French. But very cool. You said that very eloquently. Yeah, we found out that there's like a transdimensional Amazon.
Oh, God, that's like, a great way to put it.
Right?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
We were ice skating and he got these flashes. It's like, oh, what's going on? And then he's like, oh, I got a package. And I'm like, how did you get a package? Like, you don't exist on this earth.
Yeah,
how can
what's
you
your
get something
what are you
registered?
Doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then somehow the package was delivered to Star Labs.
That's neither here nor there.
How did that get inside? But, yeah, he got this thing from a different Earth.
Oh, is that what he... Okay, so he got it from a different Earth. I know when I saw it, I was excited. And what excites me about Sherlock is he always has something up his sleeve. So when he presented it, I know he was looking in the eyes of certain people in the room.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's start with Nora.
Digging deeper. You know, I bet you that they could have gone and done something completely different, but he saw this opportunity and was just like, this is the perfect time to bring this so that I could figure some more stuff out. And he's doing it in a subtle way.
Yes.
Not to break up the team. And this is where, this is key, where Sherlock is, I'm hoping they don't fall suit with the past few seasons of Tom, whatever the guy's last name is.
Right.
His character dies and they bring in a new guy. I think Sherlock is a great addition to the team. I enjoy him and I think he cares for everybody on this team and wants to see the best for it. I think he sees the good in Nora as well.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And he's coming at it from a very professional standpoint because, like you said, he's not doing it in a way where he wants to break up the team. He's not trying to call her out. He does see the good in her. He's just trying to get to the bottom of things, which is what he does best.
Something is off.
Something is absolutely off.
He knows that, which mm-hmm. is okay that it's off, and he doesn't want to just, like, call and bring attention straightforward to it just yet.
Yeah, so what I loved about the time machine is it's very creative. So to be able to go into Grace's thoughts, of course, Nora, I do think it was, again... See, Nora wouldn't be Nora if she didn't get on her nerves just a little bit. And I forgot, is the actor's name Jessica? I think it's Jessica. Either way, the actor that plays XS... we're always bagging on Nora, but if she wasn't a phenomenal actor, we wouldn't be so aggravated with Nora. So shout out to her.
Yes.
But Nora jumps in and it's like, oh, and I can, you know, just trying to save her own tail. And, you know, the feelings of her parents.
Well, she thought it could be done really fast.
Yeah.
Or, like, excessively fast.
Of course, because she's never thinking about the consequences.
Never, which is okay. I mean, it's a good mix between Barry and Iris, and it just keeps showing that this is their child.
That's very true. And it also gave them an opportunity to further, you know, the plot line by jumping in after her and ending up somewhere else, which allowed Iris to heal. Like, that was a real healing moment to realize that she wasn't, you know, this psycho woman who went nuts after Barry went missing.
Yeah, you know, this is probably one of the main reasons why I enjoy this episode. And it delves into so much psychology of dreams and memories and all that stuff, which is amazing. The whole season, we have been told that Iris is this mad woman, this just, like, crazed, angry, just as if the writers wrote, you know, somebody new in. Yep. And we're like, how can this be? Like, what is the connection? Why?
Right.
Like, we get it. Like, you have a daughter, but, like, you lost Barry. Why would you fall from grace? Not to be too funny. Like, I just don't understand. And so now we get the insight. And, man, they went there hard with that one scene. Let's backtrack a little bit. So we find Grace. Oh, actually, no, we're in the right steps. Okay, we have Barry and Iris chasing after XS, trying to find her in her own dreams, and we get to see the Hall of Villains. What'd you think about that?
Right. Actually, so I thought the whole Flash Museum was amazing. Barry was looking like a kid in the candy store, just super pumped up at everything, and I actually just visually enjoyed the Hall of Villains, and obviously it would be absolutely necessary in the museum. And it did have a little bit of an eerie feel to it. Once we saw that, I knew something bad was going to happen.
So I have some qualms with this.
Oh, tell me.
I don't remember what episode it was, but when we did first get to see in the future and we got to see you know, the Flash Museum, everyone online raved about it. And they're like, oh, like they had an amazing opportunity to do something awesome. And they just kind of threw everything together in one room and spruced it up and made it look like something. It looked like a back room, you know, like Carnegie kind of like something stupid. It didn't have the pizzazz that I was expecting it would be. And then they went and took it even further by saying, oh, it's Star Labs. Star Labs is turned into the Flash Museum. Yeah. And like, they're just using rooms. I get it. Production. It's hard to build new sets. Cool. I'm not happy with it.
Really? Okay.
I'm a nerd. I'm a
fan. What would you have liked to see?
I mean, it's the Flash Museum. It's supposed to be massive. I don't know. I have obviously something in my head and what the comic show compared to this. For what it was nice.
Okay.
It was okay. That was one thing. I was weirded out by how excited Barry was by all the memorabilia and everything that he has, because the consequences of that is him vanishing.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I literally just saw that as, like, a moment of, like, oh my god, this is so cool. Just, you know, it's very ego-driven and not in a bad way at all, but he's idolized. So I just think naturally he'd have a quick moment, and that's all I saw it as. It's just a moment.
There was just such a – there could have been such a great moment between him and Iris of being like, this is our future, but not what the future that we wanted.
Interesting.
Yeah, and, like, he was just like a child in the candy store, just like what you said. Uh-huh. But it should have been, like, the – I feel like the gravity of the situation should have been more – it was fun. I get it. I get why they went and did that. But we got to later see Iris, future Iris. So last week you guys made some predictions of how she would look. And I think Drew was the one saying, like, black don't crack, she'll be looking fine.
Yeah, no.
And she did. But not even a gray strand or something?
No. You know what? You know that 10-year challenge everybody just did on Instagram? I literally pulled up a picture from, like, 2005, and I look the same.
Yeah.
Like, it just is what it is. So that was 14 years ago.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm just saying.
But, hey, look, she had a kid. She lost her husband. You know, multiple villain fights. I figured the stress would hit her eventually, you know, a little bit faster.
Well, she was wearing a cardigan. Come on.
I have a cardigan right now.
But you know, she was very, like, mom down. She wasn't Iris cute.
She was mom down.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was like a trench coat. It looked very
cardigan.
I was digging it. It looked like a trench coat to me. I don't know. Could have gone one of two ways.
Right.
But yeah, man, we had such a vivid mean memory of what Nora viewed Iris as growing up, and I think it just shocked Iris.
Yeah, I mean, as it should, because it was completely out of character. Like, it almost brought her to tears. And Barry has always been the one to still kind of reel her back to be like, you know, Iris, he believes, they keep each other's back like that. When Barry is tripping,
they really do,
Iris reels him in. When Iris is tripping, he's like, no, I know who you are. I know your heart.
Yeah.
It's always going to be good with you. I know you. So that was a good moment. And I would say it also gave Nora a chance to heal. Did she really not remember things that way? Because she seemed to be able to communicate easily, like, I was very angry at everything and you were around, so I took it out. But it wasn't until after Barry told her about the memory. So I'm wondering if that was a healing
moment. Well,
see,
that's why I like this episode so much, because this is where it delves into the psychology of memories and how you perceive things to be and what you kind of recall.
So good.
It's such a cool concept, because she was angry as a child and upset with her mother, but obviously her mom didn't treat her that way.
Right.
But that's how she perceived it. And that wasn't even to say that's what she thought the memory actually was. That's what her brain had to create to allow her to justify what was going on in life and for her to move forward in a healthy manner.
It's true.
And
well said.
We don't obviously have insight into our brains. We don't get to, like, put on, like, some doohickey and then go relive some past memories or other people's memories. But that's, again, like, what the whole Inception thing was also, with just kind of how real is this memory or not and how it was remembered. So,
and I do like the way even Sherlock set that up, because he was setting Nora up from the gate, because he knew how anxious she would be, especially, like, and now the speedsters can go in, right? Good.
Yeah.
You know, and he definitely had the thing about going in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like that, because him just even making that statement, I feel, is what allowed Barry to double ask, like, why'd you go in there again? Or, like, why would you go in there by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's being the father.
Yeah.
Needs to.
Daddy.
Yeah. And it's cool. It's good that they did that, because it also allowed us to get a little bit insight into Sherlock and some of his wives.
Right.
And, I mean, we obviously knew this was, like, Sherlock Holmes. And where's his Watson this whole time? And we find out what happened. He got brain dead because he went in alone.
Yeah.
After finding that he, like, cheated on one of his wives.
Right. Oh, my God. Which is so insane, but very Sherlock of him.
Watson.
Watson.
Yeah.
So something else that I appreciated, and you know me, I always get scared. I get very scared when people are getting chased and beaten up. I'm just, you know, like, freaking out about it. What did you think about the Reverse Flash making an appearance in Nora's
dream? Like, anytime the Reverse Flash is in the episodes, it's awesome. season one was the Reverse Flash. It was the best villain. I thought I had the best storyline and everything. He is the epitome of like the polar opposite of the Flash. Even up until now, he is still back in the comics, and that is his Joker. You know, like that every Batman, every superhero, you know, has their polar opposite, and that is him. And it wouldn't be a show without him lurking somewhere off in the distance or something, and you know, contriving and.
Yeah. And they've done a good job with it because I genuinely get scared. Like, I don't like seeing that yellow suit and those red eyes. I get scared.
It's great. Yeah. Tonight was filled with references. I loved how many things that they put in there.
Yeah.
Right in the beginning, she was on the phone talking about Central City Citizen, which, like, not a lot of people will remember.
Yes.
Now, this episode, they really brought it forward, but that was the article or the newspaper that she created.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just setting in motion all these things. We got another Batman Gotham reference, which is great. The Mad Hatter. Mm-hmm. That's a Batman kind of... Actually, I'm sorry. We had two Gotham references, which is awesome with the whole Batwoman getting a show. So I'm super excited to see where they're going to be leading with all these things. We'll talk about that in predictions.
Yes. We'll get into it. Yeah. It's just so good. I love it. Okay, so... let's kind of segue into our third topic here with Grace, which, because yes. I want to talk about Nora.
Nora going... was originally the one to enter, and then yes. Barry and Iris entered into another dream of a dream.
Right. Yeah. Which also, her entering into a dream of a dream, Barry and Iris going into the dream of a dream did not allow them interaction with little Nora.
Correct.
As because Nora got the interaction with Grace.
Correct. Little Nora was preoccupied.
Yeah.
In another one. And,
yeah.
And with, yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
Yes. That gets very confusing.
It was confusing, you know, but I was following it because I love that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So she hops into the dream, which is crazy to me because I don't feel like she knows as much about Grace as... Like, what were you going to go in there and do? There was no plan discussed. How were you going to talk her into this portal? She was working with nothing. So I feel like she went in there and, you know, kind of made it messy, obviously. But she goes in and she sees the girl and doesn't realize that Grace's brain is attacking her or why. So what do you think about the defense mechanism of the memory machine and how that all works?
Well, it wasn't the memory machine. It was the defense mechanism of the actual host.
The brain, yes.
The brain itself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a foreign, you know, being of some sort inside the brain. And, I mean, it was kind of cool. It wasn't the worst of things. It definitely made it for an episode, obviously. Because, hey, let's just go in the brain and be like, oh, hey, you're in a coma. Wake up. It would have been very quick. I liked it. I mean, it didn't really stand out to me too much. I liked it. That's all.
Yeah. I was kind of obsessed with it for like the little nuances. So like for instance, they had me almost because when, what's his name? Orlin walked in and they've got all these pancakes and waffles in it. I really tried to take my brain back. Like, I don't remember that. I mean, I remember they went to the fair. I remember they had a good time and he was sweet and trying.
Right.
But I don't remember, like, all of this, you know, and even nuances with the house. And then when she went to the dollhouse and was able to, you know, it just stuck out to her like, huh, this is weird. Then it started to make sense for me. But I kind of enjoyed not understanding. I don't know. I can be a little slow like that. I was like, what is going on? I don't remember this.
Yeah.
With all this breakfast.
And- I mean, I think that was just to show how much more, like, they were in this dream and how she was controlling the dream. Just to go back to, it wasn't how she really remembered it. She was making it as a protection so that she could live in this world. And it duped me because I was just like, poor girl, doesn't want to leave. She probably did hear some things and knows that her uncle is this like horrible man. And she wants to stay remembering him when he was like the sweet man.
Right.
But that was... certainly wrong, what we soon come find out. So
right.
She knew all along, and she was just playing Nora.
And that got me, too. That is crazy. So this little girl is listening in a coma.
Yeah.
And the stuff that she's absorbing and the way she's absorbing it is quite terrifying.
Very much. Well, I mean, the children are like a sponge, you know, and they don't quite understand it. And, I mean, you have someone that is your sole protector just you know, protecting you and saying these things, you're going to kind of listen to that, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much all she's hearing between what Orlin or Cicada is saying and his conversations with the doctor. Like, everything that she's hearing, she's literally being hardwired to meta-hate.
Pretty much. And what we find out also, they unwrap her bandage. She still has some type of brain damage with, like, shrapnel in it, and come to find out that there's pieces in her brain that they left in. So it's kind of... if we're following suit of how the writers go, I'm sure she shares the powers with her uncle because it happened at the same time in the same circumstance. So we could have a baby cicada.
Which is scary because her head is lighting up just like his chest was.
Well, yeah. And her protection, we later find out, was a female cicada.
Wait, what do you mean her protection? Oh, yeah, exactly.
It was a female cicada.
Yeah, which so ties strange. In
together the fact that we had the biggest drop, name drop tonight. But it ties in with how it was. Everyone was so confused how cicada disappeared for the longest time and then resurfaced.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered that, Barry discovered that, Iris discovered that. And I think that's something that Nora didn't actually really say. She just said that we never captured him.
Yeah.
And that... he resurfaced and, like, you know, was killing still. So 120 something body count.
I think it was over 150.
Something like that. Yeah. So we got a lot to see. I guess we're not done with Cicada just yet.
No, it doesn't seem like not at all. So before we go into that a little deeper, last question on this situation with Grace and Nora. What do you think about Nora's negotiation skills? Did she do her best to try to get that little girl to get through the portal?
No.
I didn't think so either.
No, she was horrible.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with that because I was getting bored with Cicada.
Okay. Yeah, and you were.
This makes a whole new drive.
Yeah.
Because, like, look, if she wakes up and then it's just like, oh, I'm better. And then he's like, I still have to kill. And she's, like, upset and crying. And now we have to kill him. And now she'll be, like, another orphan. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
You know? So give him the cure. Fix both of them.
And let's walk off into the sunset.
Yeah. Something along those lines. So.
I love it. Well, to me, that was so much fun. And I really enjoyed when Caitlin popped in on the three-way call to let them know about perception. That was just dope.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it's all about your perception and perspective, which is really true. Like you said, it speaks to real life as well. Well, speaking of real life, this is kind of real life, but why don't we jump into the baddie breakdown and news and gossip? I know you have a little something prepared for us.
So I'll just... I'll just get right into the news and gossip because it segues into everything else.
Yes.
So tonight, you know, The Flash was the most popular. We find out that The Flash is the most popular superhero TV of 2018. We got this cover.com spoke with Parrot Analytics, a data science company that measures audiences' interest in television content by assessing brand engagement online, and the result is a list of 20 most popular superhero TV series in 2018. Overall, it consists of 11 DC shows, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
9 from Marvel. Flash was number one.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. Second to DC Universe's Titans, which, like, just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Supergirl in third, which is pretty cool.
That is great.
Yeah, so kudos to The Flash and continuing to, you know, do good.
Yes,
love it.
We love it.
So tonight, we'll get right into the baddie breakdown. I almost didn't have a baddie breakdown for tonight until watching this, and I'm so happy this happened.
Yes.
We didn't actually get to see him and get a comparison, but the biggest new name drop happened. The Red Death was mentioned as one of the worst killers in the future. Now, this is crossing into another timeline, into another universe. There is a segment of DC that's called DC Dark Metal. It takes a play on the fall of Batman, and it takes it in different universes, different worlds. There is this overall... I'll make this quick. There's this guy called Barbados. He's an evil guy going across to different universes, collecting different superheroes to make him bad, to do this big fight. Whole nother story.
Mm-hmm.
In this, though, there's at least probably 8 or 10 different Batmans that he goes to different Batman Earths. Each Earth, Batman becomes one of the Justice League members. So there's a Superman that becomes a Batman. There's a Batman that becomes like a Joker and stuff like that. It's Batman falling from grace, killing, and then becoming an evil part of whatever he was. The Red Death was mentioned tonight, which is amazing because it pairs with the Flash. There's a world where Barbados is attacking and Batman is at his wit's end. He lost all of his Robins and is just like in this turmoil, and he's fighting with Captain Cold and all these other guys, and he's trying to fight with Barry, telling him like, hey, I need your power, help me with the Speed Force. And Barry refuses to give it to him. So what does Batman do? He knocks him out, ties him to his car, and puts him on the cosmic treadmill, which in the comics allows him to time travel. Puts him on this thing and shoots into the Speed Force, fusing the two of them together. It was the coolest thing in the world.
That sounds amazing.
So we have Batman, the smartest detective in the world, who has fallen from grace, lost all of his Robins, you know, is just has turned mad and evil, and has the Flash's power. All the while, has Barry Allen in his head talking to him.
It's crazy.
So, I'm not sure if we have the picture up. It's there. I just nerded out for you guys hard. Now, this is just a name drop. You know, who knows if this is that they're going to do something like this. We were hoping to see someone like Godspeed in a few seasons. I would be happy with this type of speedster. It kind of plays in because we do have Gotham now with Batwoman. Will it work, though? I don't know. It will be crossing into multiple worlds and just very down the rabbit hole. So
right.
I geeked out when I heard that, and I was just like, my ears perked. And I know a lot of you guys, you knew what that was about, too, and was very excited. So it's a great Easter egg.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if we'll get bits and pieces of it randomly just because they felt it strong enough to mention, like, if Cicada was killed more people than the Red Death, then, I don't know, maybe we'll see something?
Maybe. I don't know. It would be kind of cool. I mean, it's funny to think that we had mention of Zoom already, that, like, Cicada has done worse than that, and now they're mentioning the Red Death, who was just, like, the epitome of bad guys. So I don't know how they would handle that or if that plays into why the Flash disappeared.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of routes that they could take, the writers. It would blow my mind.
Love it.
Yeah, so... And that's all I got for you tonight, guys.
I love it. That was amazing news and gossip. I feel so educated because, to be honest, I wouldn't have known. And I think that's what's great about, like,
my perspective. That was scratching the surface, too. Yeah. And I had read that comic probably, like, last year around this time when it came out.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's I had to brush up a little bit. But it's going down in history as one of, like, it's going to be, like, a graphic novel, and it's going to be one of the best Batman iterations. So.
Love it. Here for it. Thank you for that amazing breakdown and news and gossip. So why don't we just go ahead and jump into predictions? It's sure. About that time.
Let's do it.
And now,
all right. TV predictions. Oh, man. Do you want to go first on this? Do you have a prediction?
So we have a killer next week, Goldface.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's no shot for a Silver Man over here.
Okay.
You know, so.
Goldface,
he's going down.
That's right. I love it.
That's my prediction. No,
done and done.
You know, we're gonna get off the Cicada thing again. A little side episode with I don't know. We're gonna have some pairings of. I was trying to remember. Did you see who paired together? Because I know this season's a lot of, like, Ralph and Caitlin, Cisco and Sir Luke, and, you know, different pairings.
I didn't catch it, but why am I thinking, is it Barry and Iris again? Are they doing more together?
Are they?
I feel like that might be what I saw, but I'm not sure. I would be happy with that, too. I really don't have any prediction. I'm not sure where things are going to go, especially because we are kind of getting off the Cicada thing just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I think it's just it's a filler episode, which is okay. Filler episodes could be fun. Ivan is saying it's Ralph and Barry. So
And Barry. I like great.
Those are always great pairings.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're trying to take down some crime syndicate. So yeah. That'll be fun.
Great. You know? It'll be fun.
It'll be good. Get some guns and it'll hopefully help the bigger picture.
Yes. So that's all I'm hoping to see is some fun and having it help the bigger picture.
Fantastic.
Well, I love it. Thank you guys so much for spending time with us on this lovely Tuesday after the Flash. Make sure to tune in next week at the same time, and we will be here to discuss. So we want you to join the discussion. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and you can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
Hey guys, it's Zach Silverman over here, and you can find me all across social media at Zach with a CH Silverman 2.
All right.
Have a good night, guys.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.